you have your Bibles tonight, find, if you would, Psalm 90. Psalm 90 will be where our text will be. I will take you to a couple of other places. I know we will make it to the book of James in just a second. We'll find James chapter 4. Then I believe before our time is over, we will make our way to the book of Romans. I try to use the Sunday night services to handle the moments of our lives. I try to use the Sunday night services to be inspirational and informative and helpful and very practical kind of Bible preaching. And a lot of times when I pray and ask the Lord, Lord, what would you have for Sunday night? Usually it does fit right into what we're going through, either as a nation or as a church, as individuals, or certain things that are just a reality of our life. And I find myself tonight preaching a message based off of the experiences of my own life and others here over the past few weeks and days and months. And I want to be a blessing tonight. I just want to teach you and give you some truths. I want tonight's message to impact your tomorrow. And I want tonight's message to help give us a good understanding of our responsibility when it comes to the days of our lives. The days of our lives is a soap opera. I won't ask you if you watch the days of our lives. I never got into the soap opera television. I don't know. I guess I went to school, praise the Lord. But those things were kind of addicting to people when they stayed home. The soap operas, I'll just get off that point before I get myself in trouble. Anybody know who wrote Psalm 90? Moses. They say, Bible scholars tell us, that he possibly also wrote Psalm 91, being an anonymous psalm there. The Bible scholars will tell us that along with the book of Job, Psalm 90 is one of the oldest writings in the Bible. I hope you understand that Job is one of the earliest men to ever walk the face of the earth. Even though the book of Job is located more in the middle of your Bible, they do believe that it was the first book that was written, and he lived at the earliest days there near Adam's time. Psalm 90, written by Moses, was written at a very difficult time in the life of the nation of Israel. If you remember, when they came out of Egypt, they were to go into the promised land. And they sent those spies into the promised land. How many spies did they send? 12. 10 were bad and 2 were good. Some of you remember the little jingle. The 2 spies that were good were men named Joshua. And who was the other? Caleb. 10 came back and said, we can't do it. It's impossible. They're giants. Joshua and Caleb came back and said, they might be giants, but with our God, all things are possible. Human nature has always tended to go with fear. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is a righteous and reverential fear. But it amazes me how the default button of our flesh is fear. And so as the announcement came back that it would be impossible to do this, the nation, gripped with fear, sided with those 10 spies. And so instead of trusting the Lord and receiving their inheritance, they disobeyed God. They didn't go by faith. And what happened to that generation in the wilderness? They did what? They died. They walked in that wilderness 40 years. And this psalm, scholars tell us, was probably written about the 38th, 39th year of that time. As you read the psalm, it is a psalm that deals with life and death. Moses is writing from a vantage point of watching a generation pass away. And they're passing away under the judgment of God because they didn't obey God by faith. And you know that the new generation that Joshua and Caleb would lead would cross them into the promised land. And so Moses at that time in the nation's history, in that time in his life, begins the psalm with a great and tremendous praise to God. He says, "Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God." He goes on to describe the greatness of God in his response to the nation. "Thou turnest man to destruction, and sayest, Return ye children of men. 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night." This is written from a man who's experienced 38 years of agony. "Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep in the morning. They are like grass which groweth up in the morning. It flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth." He's been watching the brevity of life. "For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled." And they were. "Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance." Let me tell you something. God knows all secrets. Moses goes on, he says, "For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told." And he understands that they were under that condemnation. They were under that judgment sentence. There was a tale of judgment upon them. And that's how they were spending their life. "The days of our years are 70 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80, which would be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away." Sometimes we kind of think that, and some people do, and I'm not against you if you do, I'm not necessarily saying it's wrong, but we want to take that verse and make it the definition of the lifespan or the time that we can expect. But as I was studying this, the Bible scholars said that this is probably the age that Moses was watching that generation die. So these men were about 30 years old when they turned their back on the Lord and didn't go over. Now they've walked in that wilderness about 40 years. That would make them 70. If by reason of strength a little bit, they lived a little bit longer and so on. But around 70 and around 80, they were beginning to die off. And Moses is watching that generation die. Verse number 11, "Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath." And in verse number 12 would be our text tonight. "So, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto" what class? "Unto wisdom." They were under a death sentence. They were under the judgment of God, and rightfully so. And Moses is watching them go and watching them pass on, and he begins to realize the importance of numbering their days. And it's not so much that it was a morbid or a somber deal as much as it was a weighing out of their days. And what Moses is teaching them here is the importance of recognizing the reality and the responsibility of their life or their remaining life, and especially as it would be applied unto wisdom, and especially as it would be applied into the future. And so Moses makes this prayer, and he asks God to teach them how to number their days, or to weigh out their days, or how to live their days, or how to organize their days, that they may apply their hearts unto wisdom. And I thinking about what we have gone through as a church, what we've gone through as individuals, and thinking about our time and our days. Praise God, we're not under the condemnation of death. We've been passed from death unto life. Amen? But we do have a responsibility to understand our life. And you have a responsibility to understand your life. And really and truthfully, it's a preparation verse. And it's a verse that is teaching us that this life is preparation for the next life. And Moses is watching this generation pass. He's wanting them to be prepared in their passing, but he's also wanting them to prepare their young people in the future. And so he talks about this responsibility to weigh out their days. We learn a couple things from this verse. Number one, they had to be taught this truth. So teach us. The request to teach them shows that they did not possess this knowledge themselves. I want you to hold your hand here and I want you to go to James chapter 4. And I want to show you what really and truthfully the wisdom of our nature is and where we kind of find security in our nature. But really and truthfully, it's an insecure position. Go, if you would, to James chapter 4. Look, if you would, at verse number 13. James is here and he's dealing with an expectation. He says, "Go to now, ye that say, today," or what's those two words? "Tomorrow." "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year." They're making their plans. "We'll buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord," what class? "Will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings." What boastings? They have the boastings of tomorrow. "All such rejoicing is" what? "It's evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is" what? "Sin." And so the expectation of our human nature is that we always have tomorrow. And so James is confronting that mentality, and these people are making plans, and they're making plans on tomorrow without surrendering themselves to the Lord, without recognizing that they're not in charge of their tomorrow. If you see tomorrow, it is because of God's grace. And so I'm not sure that we as a people, we put more value on tomorrow than we do today. Tomorrow, you hope to win the lottery. Tomorrow, you hope for a better tomorrow. Tomorrow, you hope for a promotion. Tomorrow, you hope for whatever. And it's like we have just set our affection on tomorrow, and our normal mindset is that tomorrow is just a given. Well, Moses is watching a generation of folks pass away, and Moses has come to the understanding that we don't necessarily own tomorrow. Tomorrow is owned by the Lord. What we possess is our today. And so Moses says, "Now wait a minute, God. We need you to teach us the importance of weighing out our today." Now, it's so important. Look at the power of this back in Psalm chapter 90. The reason that we need to value our day, the reason that we need to weigh out our day, is that we may apply our hearts unto what? Wisdom. Wisdom. Apply our hearts unto wisdom. And so, think about this now. Don't lose the pastor. We put a lot of wisdom into tomorrow. For example, do you have a 5-year plan? Do you have a 10-year plan? Do you have a retirement plan structured out? Do you have these kind of plans that you've got and you're just waiting for a moment, or you're waiting for something to work out? We put a lot of time and a lot of effort and a lot of money and a lot of training and a lot of hope and a lot of value into tomorrow. But we're not guaranteed tomorrow. And so all of this wisdom that we've got invested in tomorrow may never even show up. And so Moses says, now wait a minute, God. Teach us to number our day. And when we realize the value of a day, when we realize the brevity and the fragility of life, when we realize that today is what we have, he said, then I'm able to apply my heart unto wisdom. What kind of wisdom? A wisdom that enables me to be prepared in the day. Pastor, are you being morbid? No, I'm not being morbid. I'm teaching you how to enjoy life. You know, there's not really a lot of enjoyment in tomorrow. You can't handle tomorrow. I tell people this all the time. You get too many days into tomorrow and you're going to get afraid. And I don't care who you are, if you start thinking about tomorrow, there's nothing but uncertainty and instability and insecurity in tomorrow. So as my mind wants to go into tomorrow, that's when I get scared out of my mind. Pastor, how do you handle tomorrow? I try not to go into tomorrow, but I know the Lord who owns tomorrow, and I go to Him. And so all of this wisdom and value we're putting into tomorrow, Moses said, I don't even know wisdom. Wisdom begins in the day. And he says, I'm teaching us how to enjoy the day. I'm teaching you how to be prepared for the day. If I've learned anything over the last week, it's that you don't know what's going to happen in the day. So if you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, this goes for unsaved, it goes for saved people. An unsaved person who realizes that tomorrow's not guaranteed is able then to apply his heart unto wisdom. And that's why you need to be saved today. That's why the Bible says today is the day of salvation. This verse is a preparatory verse. An unsaved person, I want to prepare myself against the great judgment or the white throne judgment. I don't want to be at that great white throne judgment. I want to be prepared today in the day of salvation. I don't want to push that off to tomorrow, because tomorrow I could end up in hell, or you could end up in hell. That's why you need to be saved today. For the believer, we need to understand our responsibility in the day, and that prepares us for the judgment seat of Christ. Well, tomorrow, Pastor, I'm going to serve the Lord. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. Well, you know what? When I retire, you're not guaranteed you're going to retire. Well, you know what? When my ship comes in, Mike Edwards was sitting over here this morning. He's a merchant marine and he works on those big ships. His friends are on the El Ferraro. And he called me and he said, my friends are gone. You think about the power of the ocean. And you think about that big ship. And you think about that storm. And that storm swallowed up that ship. And those men are gone. Listen, you're not guaranteed your ship is going to come in. And most of you, when your ship comes in, you find out it's a dinghy. With a leak. So the value of our day. So teach us to weigh out our day. Teach us to apply our heart to the wisdom of the day. Moses understood that. We need to understand that. You know, you better get to doing what you're going to do today. Well, Pastor, tomorrow I'll be a righteous man. No, you be a righteous man today. Pastor, tomorrow I'll give up this. No, you give it up today. Well, Pastor, tomorrow I'm going to make some change. No, you make them changes today. When you understand the brevity of life and that the importance of the day, then you're able to apply your heart unto wisdom. When you understand you're not guaranteed tomorrow, then you want to be ready to meet the Lord today. Then you don't want to be entrapped in sin today. You could meet the Lord today. I don't want to meet the Lord entrapped in sin. I want to meet the Lord in the beauty of holiness. When you understand the day, you'll get out there and serve the Lord. You'll get out there and do what's required of you. And that's the way to live life. You know, I want to say this. God help me be kind. The reason we are miserable is because we're bored out of our mind. Our nation is bored. We have everything we want and we're bored out of our mind. And here we are, we're bored out of our mind and we're saying, well, tomorrow I will do this and then tomorrow I'll do that and tomorrow I'll do that. You want an exciting life, serve the Lord today. Today. I think Paul gives us good admonition in Romans chapter 13, and I would ask you to turn there and I'll close our time in Romans chapter 13. This was his admonition to the church. Verse number 11. And that knowing the time, so important that we know the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Oh, how true that is. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting, drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. What an admonition for the day. And make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Now let me tell you, teach you something about your Christian life and your Christian walk, and my Christian life and my Christian walk. I don't know what I will be tomorrow, but I know what I can be today. And the old adage is, how do you eat an elephant? Jay mentioned this last night. One bite at a time, right? So most Christian people, we get defeated in our mind even before we get out of the gate. And so God's asking you to do something, but you immediately go to tomorrow and you think, I can't handle that. God's asking you to surrender to something. You immediately go to the future and you think it'll never make it. God's asking you to do something and you get there and you think it's not sustainable. And so what the Lord does is he guides and directs and puts something on our heart, and then immediately we go to tomorrow. Don't go to tomorrow. Just go to today. Lord, today I submit myself to you. Today I put on the Lord Jesus Christ. God, today I want to walk in the Spirit. Today I do not want to fulfill the lust of the flesh. And today, God, I want to serve you with my life. And then you know what happens? If you get tomorrow, today, God. And then if you get another 10 years, today, God. Learn to walk in the day. Amen. If you will walk in the day and do what you're supposed to do in the daytime, you will be thrilled out of your mind how exciting life will become. Begin to weigh out your day. Moses said, teach us to number our days. And once I learn the value of a day, I can then apply my heart unto wisdom. Then I can begin to relate biblically. Then I can begin to be on a solid footing for the day. But if I try to put all my wisdom into tomorrow, I think I'll be disappointed. The Lord could come back tonight. Let me ask you a question. If you died tonight, would you go to heaven? Say amen if you would. Amen. Would you leave hell on earth? What do you mean, Pastor? If you died tonight, you would go to heaven. But what kind of life would you leave on the earth? What would your home look like? What confidence would your spouse have? What would your children say about you? What would they find about you? Yeah, you're in heaven. But what are you leaving on the earth? We always think we'll get it right tomorrow. No. You better get it right today. Amen. Amen. Let's pray.